We gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful day He has blessed us with to encounter our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to be moved by the Holy Spirit. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Thank you, Bert, for a wonderful prelude this morning. That gets you kind of in the mood to worship, amen? It is a good day to gather in the Lord's house this morning. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning on the second Sunday in the month of June. Summer is officially here. Now, I know this because school is officially out and half of our congregation is on vacation this week, but that's okay. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this morning. We're thankful that you're here with us this morning. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online this morning as well. If you are joining us this morning online, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and you go there and pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for our worship service today. Also, use it as a resource for the ministries coming up. For those that are gathering in our sanctuary this morning, I encourage you to look at all the opportunities we have coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time visitor with us this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. I encourage you to fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you, and then as you leave later on in worship this morning, you can drop it off in the offering plate just so we have a record of your visit. If you're visiting us first time online, send me an email this morning so I can follow up with you this week and welcome you to First Baptist Elon. You may notice that a number of our ministry opportunities coming up this week are involved in going out in our community. That starts, of course, on Monday next week. Our senior adults are going out on a fun trip to the old mill at Guilford, followed by lunch. But Gay wanted me to remind you that if you're going next Monday, you need to sign up today by this Sunday, because she needs to know if she has enough seats on the bus. So if you are planning to go on that fun and fellowship trip next Monday, make sure you get your name on the sign-up sheets this morning. There's one in the foyer as you leave this morning. Just write your name down. They're also in the Sunday school classes as well. It should be a fun trip, and she wants lots of people going. I know a number of people have signed up already, which is a wonderful time. Also coming up this week, we'll be having a group going to on Tuesday to the Golden Year Senior Center, playing bingo and celebrating birthdays with the senior adults there at the Senior Center. If you want to go on that that group trip on Tuesday afternoon, you can speak to myself or Gay. We'll get you in touch with Sandy French, who is in charge of that group that goes every other Tuesday for that wonderful time of ministry. Also, on Tuesday, we are starting our summer virtual Bible study. And this is something that we'll be doing throughout the month of June, July, and August. I'll be leading this Bible study at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday evenings. It'll be on Facebook Live, so all you have to do is go to our website and click on the Facebook page at the bottom, or you can join us on Facebook, on the Facebook if you're a part of Facebook, and go there for our Bible study. At 6:30 p.m., we're going to be starting looking at the letters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We'll be looking at this throughout the summertime. It'll be a wonderful, easy Bible study. All you need is your Bible and a little bit of time with me on Tuesday evenings. Of course, if you can't meet on Tuesdays, you can go at any time back to our Facebook page and pull up those Bible study opportunities. There'll be study guides on our website as well. But I hope you'll join me for this time of study during this summer months virtually, for this time of ministry. It's a time of Bible study together as a church here at First Baptist Elon. Vacation Bible School is also 1 week away. Now, we hope all our kids are going on vacation this week, but they'll be back next Sunday, starting on Father's Day, the kickoff. We are partnering with Elon Community Church, which is right down the road here. They will be hosting it like we did last year, a wonderful time of coming together in our community. It will start at 5:30 p.m. next Sunday night, but we want you to register. So make sure your children are registered, make sure your grandchildren are registered, make sure your neighbors' kids are registered. So you got to get the word out about Vacation Bible School this year. The title of the theme is Operation Restoration, and it will be a wonderful time of ministry taking place Sunday through Wednesday, starting next Sunday night. I hope you will be a part of it. All you have to do is stop by. It'll be a wonderful time of ministry, and if you don't have any energy in the evenings, I encourage you to stop by just for a few minutes, and you will after that when you see how much fun these kids have. So it starts next Sunday at 5:30 p.m. with a family night where parents and grandparents are encouraged to stay and see how much fun they're going to have throughout the week. Our June mission collections that we're having, I talked about them last week. If you look at our June newsletter, we're collecting items for the Salvation Army Food Pantry, also collecting items for Camp Greenleaves. Items that are needed are listed in your newsletter. You can pick up a newsletter as you leave this morning as well for additional details as well. And last but not least, we have almost reached our $200 goal for the special brick, the special paver that we're going to place in the prayer garden in honor of our 75 years in ministry. We announced it last Sunday, and we raised 3/4 of the goal already last Sunday. And I'm pretty sure we'll reach the goal this Sunday. So if you feel led to donate a little bit, there is a floral-covered box on the table out in the foyer area. If you want to drop a few dollars in, I'm sure we'll reach our goal of $200 by this Sunday. But this is a way that we're going to commemorate our 75 years in ministry, and that's what we're celebrating this entire year of 75 years in ministry here at First Baptist Elon. Our guest here is because of part of that celebration as well. So we are gathered here to worship. Let us sing praise to God this morning. Sing with all the gusto that God has blessed you with. Let's worship our Lord and Savior this morning.
Our opening hymn this morning is a hymn you know very well, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The last line of this song is so near and dear to me. It says, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for their courts above. Let's stand and let's worship our Lord.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Springs of mercy never ceasing, all for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some the warrior sonnet, some by flaming tongues above. my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
You may be seated. This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 33, reading verses 1 through 12. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. As I arrived at church this morning, as I walked through the parking lot, I was just standing in amazement of the beauty of the sunshine shining down into the parking lot and onto our church. And as I stood there in the parking lot, I also was thankful, one, that it was shining, because the last couple Sundays we had a little bit of rain. The second thing I was amazed is the birds were just chirping. They were like singing a glorious noise and an anthem this morning to God. And I was like, man, this is powerful. I mean, just standing in the creation of God and hearing the praise of creation singing praise back to him. And I thought, that's exactly what we're going to be doing this morning when we gather in the sanctuary. Isn't it a blessing that we can do this, not just on Sunday, but every single day, that we can sing praise to God with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts, and our prayers. As we go to God this morning, let us lift praise to God this day. Pray with me. Faithful and loving God, your grace makes our faith possible. May we live and go about our lives as people who place our trust in you. May we love and care for others as people who turn to you for help. Where there is doubt or distrust, renew our faith. Where there is fear or insecurity, grant us courage. Where there is fatigue and weariness, give us amazing strength. Where there is confusion of purpose, give us wisdom. Where there is sorrow and loss, bring us peace. We gather this morning to bask in the presence of your blessing, but also to lift praise to honor your call on our lives. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory songs this morning, Have Faith in God and My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Let's stand.
Children, have faith in God.
As part of our 75th year in ministry and the celebration that this year has been and continues to be, one of the ways we want to remember this milestone in the church's life is with a 75th anniversary pictorial directory. Let's watch a short video with some details about this directory.
One of the greatest treasures in life is family, whether it's our personal family or our church family. Staying connected to these special people in our lives is important for our well-being and growth. We now have the opportunity to bring these special family members together in one special book. We are teaming up with Universal Church Directories to produce a quality directory that will highlight our church's ministries and feature portraits of our members and attendees' families, along with their contact information. This new directory will serve as a handy resource by bringing everyone's contact information together in one location. To make this program successful, however, we need your help. We need you to schedule an appointment for your portrait session as instructed. For taking the time to do this, you will receive a complimentary 8x10 and church directory just for participating, and have the opportunity to order one-of-a-kind family portraits, high-quality frames, Christmas cards, and choose from a variety of portrait finishes. Universal has a wide variety of options for every need and budget. If you attend our church regularly or just a few times a year, you are all part of our church family, and we very much want you in the directory. Make plans to be involved. Thank you in advance for participating in this wonderful program. Our directory wouldn't be complete without you. Schedule your appointment as soon as possible so you can reserve the time that is best for you and your family. Universal Church Directories, ministry-minded, family-focused.
If you're like my family, we're always going in two, three, or four different directions all the time. So it's not always easy for everyone to get to sit down and take a picture together. So this is the opportunity that is coming for us. We're partnering with Universal Church Directories to make this part of the celebration of 75th year a reality. My hope is that each and every one of you received a postcard this week as a reminder. You'll also receive a call from your deacon if you have not already or in the upcoming week. But we want everyone to be a part of this special opportunity. It has been 8 years since we had our last pictorial directory was completed, so our church family has changed a little bit since those that 8 year ago directory. This directory will be a great snapshot of who our congregation is now and how God has shaped us and molded us and how he'll continue to do so. It'll be a great way for us to be able to get in contact with each other and a great way to remember our year, our 75th year in ministry. The two dates that we have identified on the calendar to take pictures coming up are on Thursday, July 20th, and Friday, July 21st. There will be additional dates in August for those individuals that might be out of town on vacation on those dates. But we want to try to get as many individuals registered for those two July dates as possible. You can register online right now. I say that, but I mean not on the weekends because we're kind of blocking those out. But Monday through Friday, you can register online. The information of how to do that was on that postcard, or you can stop by one of the promotional bulletin boards or flyers that are in the hallways, take a picture of that, and it shows you exactly how to do that. Or if you want to register in person, starting next Sunday morning, and for the next four Sundays, we will have somebody upstairs in the fellowship hall prior to Sunday school and someone in the church foyer area prior to worship, where you can just stop by and sign up for your directory time, your picture time. And we hope, again, that everyone will be a part of this. We want everyone to be a part of this 75th anniversary directory. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Sally Farnham for our offertory prayer.
Will you bow your heads and pray? Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. Out of your mercy, you have given us so much. We bring our offerings today, not because you make us, not because anyone's watching or to impress anyone. We give to you because we are grateful. We love you with our whole hearts. We want to be a part of the church and part of your kingdom in every way we can. Take this offering. Use it for your kingdom and your glory. May it be a blessing to many. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glorify thy name in all the earth.
blow from his throne unto his own, his at the grace. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Thank you, praise team, for our special music this morning. As a part of our continuing celebration of our 75th year in ministry here at First Baptist, we continue to highlight organizations and fellowships that our congregation has had a growing relationship with in our history. In April of 2001, FBC Elon voted to align and support the mission and ministry of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina. So it is my great honor this morning to welcome Dr. Andy Hale, who serves as the Associate Executive Coordinator for the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina. Dr. Hale has the opportunity to collaborate with the Executive Coordinator of CBF North Carolina for the thriving of CBF NC churches and clergy, developing innovative ministry with young adults and college students, helping start new faith communities, and assisting with ministerial transition. Dr. Hale's passion is helping clergy, congregational leaders, and churches thrive for the kingdom. Dr. Hale has degrees from Campbell University Divinity School, and actually in talking with Dr. Hale this morning, we were in Taylor Hall together. Taylor Hall at Campbell University is where the religion department and the Divinity School is held. We were just on different floors at different times. He was in the religion department on the third floor. I was on the Divinity School in the second floor. We were just in different classrooms, had some of the same professors, had the same thoughts on the same professors that we had too. But anyway, go Camels. I had to do my plug there too. He holds a Doctor of Leadership and Global Perspective from George Fox University, focusing on congregational thriving through cognitive and social psychology. Dr. Hale has served as a senior pastor in congregations in Louisiana and North Carolina. He has also served on CBF Global staff as a Church Start specialist, as well as creating and hosting the CBF podcast Conversation. He is married to his wife, Jennifer. They have two daughters, Madison and Aubrey Anna. He enjoys the outdoors, a good cup of coffee, as many of you do, I know, traveling to national parks with his family and cheering on his favorite college and national sports teams. Now, we don't cheer for a lot of the same teams, but I can say go Duke, because we do cheer for that same team. Dr. Hale, welcome to the First Baptist Elon. We look forward to hearing what God has laid on your heart for us this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. On behalf of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina, I'm here to say thank you. Thank you for partnering with us with over 300 congregations across the state of North Carolina who all hold some core values together. If you know one thing about Baptists, you know we can find just about every reason not to find anything in common. And yet for 30 years now, we've found some core values centering around the mission and ministry and advancement of the gospel in North Carolina and beyond. It's because of your partnership that we're able to equip other churches, that we're able to equip people doing mission work around the world, that we're able to reach a generation, which fits into my work, that's oftentimes missing in congregations, young adults, and the growing shifts that are taking place as people relate to the church. So thank you. Thank you, David, for having me this morning. I'm meeting your wonderful family on a celebratory weekend, a high school graduation and birthday and So many things, a busy time, but it's good to be with you all. David did say upon celebrating your 75th anniversary that any special guests coming in have the ability to preach for 75 minutes. So buckle up, we might be here for a while. I joke with the church, it was the first Sunday of Lent, and I said, you know what I gave up for Lent is preaching short sermons. And a guy stood up in the back and walked out. He thought I was being serious. So, did you know that a single word or phrase can have an impact on the way that we see ourselves in the world? Many of us, if we stop to think about it, we can think of some more famous quotes from people like Nelson Mandela and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and people like Benjamin Franklin and Mother Teresa and on and on. But sometimes it can be a simple phrase or a single word that can cause us to pause and rethink everything. And this morning, I want us to center on a single word, the word yes. The lectionary text for this morning comes from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And we're going to plug into this here in just a second, but I believe in telling you the context. We're about to plunge into the life of Abraham. Well, not actually Abraham. This is Abraham before he's Abraham. We'll know him as Abram in this story. This is him before he becomes a father of a great nation. And it says this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now let's settle in right there for just a second. Anybody of you been just, you know, working in the yard, minding your own business, and a disembodied voice starts talking to you out of nowhere? I think if that happened to us, we would have some really big questions about our life and our sanity, and we wouldn't tell anybody else out of fear that they might institutionalize us. What makes this situation even more peculiar and strange is the disembodied voice tells Abram to leave his homeland, his father's house, to an undetermined place. If you were Abram, what would you honestly be thinking in this moment? Have you had a moment like this in your life, in which you feel like God is inviting you to go somewhere, maybe unknown or unseen? Our family has experienced this quite often in the last couple years. About 5 years ago, we sensed a call that God was taking us out of the Raleigh area, an area I grew up in, and sending us almost 1,000 miles away from home to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to pastor a church there, and then to bring us back home 5 years later. Have you had moments like this in your life? What about the church? We're in this place right now in which we thought we knew how things were with the church and how the church relates to its neighbors, but so much has radically changed in our world, not only because of the pandemic, because of this political polarization happening in our world and these cultural battles that are happening, and it feels like what the church has been doing maybe doesn't seem so certain in the future. Maybe God is inviting us to an unknown place. It says this, but look back at verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go to your country, to your people, and to your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. If you stop right here, it would be completely warranted to say that this invitation is obnoxious and ridiculous. Really stop and think about it for just a second. A disembodied voice comes and speaks to Abram. Unless we could just completely unpack that for just a second. In our transient world where we travel with ease on an interstate highway system, we can hop on a plane and be on the other side of the country within hours, where many folks will relocate at least two or three times in their lifetime, we might not see the problem to this invitation. However, in Abram's day, you stayed with the same family and your tribe your entire life. This was not a suburb neighborhood where people would come and go as their job opportunities saw fit. No, this was a closely connected tribal system. The tribe protected each other from invading other tribes. They supported one another in sharing resources and making goods and the sale of to other tribes. They migrated from one location to another based on the growing season. They would have found success in sticking together in their lives. And we'll soon learn that Abram is almost 75 years at this time, which means it stands to gain that he will probably acquire his father's entire estate, goods, servants, livestock, and treasure. And his father's tribe meant not just protection and comfort and financial security. It was an ancestral link from the past and the present and the future. Their history, their gods, their culture were all bound together in this inseparable bond that they experienced with one another. And who is this God talking to Abram anyways? We need to remember at this point in the history of God's people, there was no God's people. They had many gods that they were worshiping. And so maybe the question Abram should have been asking is, which God are you referring to? Which one are you? Unless we forget that this God is promising to make him a great nation when he has no children. So yes, this was an obnoxious invitation. Essentially, God is asking Abram, walk away from your culture, your religion, your perspectives, your tribe, your comfort, your security, what is familiar and known, what is guaranteed, to an undetermined location. Of course, Abram is going to reject this invitation outright. And in verse 4, he stands his ground saying, so Abram went as the Lord told him. Well, I didn't see that coming. What was Abram thinking? Who is this God among other gods that told him to be faithful and to leave his family and his land? Why would he accept this request? When you stop and think about it, we have a hard time with taking this story at face value because many of us have such trepidation with saying yes in our life. Psychologists have found that most people tend to say yes if one of the following criteria are at play. First, saying yes has to be reciprocal, meaning I get something out of it if I say yes. Second, we say yes if it typically fits in with our other commitments and consistently in life. Third, we typically only say yes if it's to figures of authority or people who we believe have expertise. We also say yes if it is taking advantage of a moment of scarcity. And finally, we say yes if it's a likable circumstance. Saying no has become much easier in our isolated culture since we no longer have to be dependent on a tribe of people. We no longer have to fight against the barbarian hordes trying to take our goods. And so we don't live in close proximity with others. Many requests that come our way are through simple text and phone calls and emails where it's just easy to say no because we don't actually have to see those people. And we're so busy in our lives that if it doesn't fit into what we want and what we expect, we simply say no. Many of us, if not all of us, want to know what's going to happen before we commit to anything. Who's going to be there? How much will it cost? How much time will it take? What will be expected of me? And for others, we rationalize a no to death because saying yes doesn't make logical sense. And so, yes, we have major trepidation with the word yes. The problem for us when it boils down to it is there are three possible answers to life. Yes, no, and maybe. Do you ever see, it's been years old, it's a Jim Carrey movie called Yes Man. It's actually based on the real-life memoirs of a man named Danny Wallace, who was faced at a crossroads in life when he was down, he hated his job, he was recently dumped by his girlfriend, and he couldn't seem to get things in order. And he happened to have a conversation with a stranger on a bus who had taken a vow of yes, meaning that for a time period, he would say yes to every opportunity that came his way. The stranger said that people without passion are the ones who always say no. But the happiest people are the ones who understand that good things occur when we allow them to. Danny takes this same vow for the remaining months of the year, and his life changes forever. A small side note, Jim Carrey was paid $32 million to do that movie. That wasn't a hard yes for him.
Let's be clear. I don't think the message from Genesis 12 is to take a yes vow, saying yes to everything that comes our way. And yet we need to ask ourselves some hard questions about the causation and drive behind our eagerness to say no rather than yes in our life. What are we afraid of? I say fear is the number one causation behind why we never say yes. We fear the unknown. We fear uncertainty. We fear things we don't understand. We fear things out of our control and our self-made security and the desires for ourselves. We fear what we can't rationalize. If it doesn't fit into our 5-year plan, if it doesn't fit into the image we have made of God, then we say no time and time again. Is God inviting you onto a journey that requires a yes? How often do you encounter God every single day, and without realizing it, you've told God no time and time again? Coming in the form of people you don't expect. Coming in the form of change you don't expect. Coming in the form of inviting you into something uncertain and unpredictable that you don't expect. And I wonder what miracles we're missing out on because we say no. Or to put it in the language of Genesis 12, what blessings are we missing out on because we said no to God time and time again? Look back at verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he was sent out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and all the possessions that he had accumulated, and the people had acquired there in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. They arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Sichem. At the time the Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offsprings I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went towards the hill east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the east and Ai on the east, or on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. For many people, the significance of these verses are so droned out because of all those complicated names and locations that we tend to tune out when people are reading it in the Bible. But what we need to understand is that Abraham didn't just set out with his wife and his nephew and his servants of his household. He pulled up stakes and left everything that he knew, everything that was comfortable. And they didn't just, you know, hop in the cart and go a couple miles down the road. Archaeologists and historians have argued that this journey from verse 4 to verse 9 is about a 700-mile journey. This would have taken them years to go through. We sometimes have this false notion that saying yes to God and yes to the life outcomes that we desire is going to be this overnight experience in which everything will change to where we need to arrive. But sometimes saying yes to God takes years. Sometimes the results take months. Are we still willing to say yes if that's the case? But what we need to understand from this text, when what we understand is as Abram makes a sacrifice here and pitches a tent and makes a sacrifice here, is that Abram was understanding that God was present with him throughout this entire journey. When we say yes to God, God is with us in the process. Think back to the significant turning points in your life where I'm sure a yes made a difference. When I was in high school, I didn't care about school at all. I cared about football and wrestling. I did some theater, and I mainly cared about girls. And so when it came time to apply to college, I got waitlisted by a lot of schools because my grades weren't up to snuff. But somehow I landed a phone call with one particular college and talked to them about my dreams for the future. And their yes allowed me to get into college, in the back door, mind you. In the first year of college, I fell in love with academics, which later opened the door to a full ride for divinity school. And I just graduated from a doctorate of leadership program, going through the process of publishing my first book. You know, when I look back at those moments in my life, I see traces of God all along the way because it could not have been because of me. Look back at verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land. Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Hold on just a second. They got to the land that God promised. After years of traveling, they settle there only to have to pack up and leave for Egypt because of famine. They went 700 miles from Ur to Canaan only to go 800 miles to Egypt. As much as we might not like it, a faith journey is not linear. It's a continual process of development and change. In other words, yeses are continually active, not passive. But when you stop and think about your life, how much has happened, not in a fashion that you can organize or you can project, but how much has come out of faithfulness in following God? And so in our final moments together, I want you to consider individually, what is God inviting you to right now? Collectively, as a church, what is God inviting you to right now? And pause and think for just a second, how much of the trepidation in your life comes from telling God no more than you realize? But really stop and think about just how much is possible when we say yes. And so the invitation this morning that comes from Jesus is to continually change our way of thinking and living. It's a yes day every single day. A constant process of stepping out in faith, following a known God into an unknown and uncertain future, but knowing that that God will lead us into fullness and vibrancy. One author put, a huge part of courage is just accepting, taking responsibility for our life, understanding that we are the movers and shakers, the one who calls the shots. In other words, we have to decide whether we say yes or no. As you reflect back on 75 years of your existence as a church, think back to 75 years ago, where people were discerning of whether they should leave their church and go and start a church in a new and growing community. Now, the problem here, no one in this sanctuary this morning looks over the age of 60, so none of you were around when this took place. But it took a group of people saying yes and faithfulness. As you reflect back on the last 75 years of faithful service, may you also think of the next 75 years. And the yeses that you make today will determine the 75 years to come. What is God calling you to individually? What is God calling you to collectively as a church? May the last thing we understand about saying yes in our life is it's not just a blessing for us, but it's a blessing for other people. The story of Abram goes from a tribal story of an individual narrative. But because Abram was willing to say yes to God, the story moved from an individual narrative into a global story. For we know that Abram will become a father of a great nation, birthing the Hebrew people. God told Abram that this blessing of leaving and going where I will show you will turn into a blessing to others. You will never know the fullness of saying yes and how it will help other people along the way. But it's amazing how impactful we can be in our lives and the lives of others if we faithfully choose to live into the power of the word yes. Let's pray together. God, we celebrate and are thankful for the people who said yes over 75 years ago to found this church. The boldness of their faith is immeasurable and indescribable. And their faithfulness along the way to continue to say yes to where you are leading them has brought us to this place. May you embolden us through your Holy Spirit, giving us courage and foresight and trust to knowing that you are inviting us into 75 more years of bold faithfulness. May we respond to you this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.